another Today Uncovered special, guys. It's like Christmas already. I'm bringing you one every week. Grab a drink, have a seat, and join the conversation. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Today Uncovered. I'm so glad that you're back here to join me again. And gosh, how interesting is this season that we are in? Look, the date is 4th November 2020. And yesterday, Americans went to the polls. It is Trump versus Biden, and it has been one of the most tightly contested elections in history, I can say. I have an awesome friend with me who goes by the name of Jornell. Say hi.
Hi, everybody.
And Jornell has been working pretty hard. She was a poll worker, weren't you, Jornell, yesterday?
Yes.
So, I've invited Jornell on the show, and we're just going to have a conversation and, yeah, just deliberate on a few of the issues that are coming up and just hear what's actually going on in America. As you guys know, I always love to hear from people on the ground, because it's one thing seeing and hearing things through the media, and it's another thing hearing it from someone who's living through it right now. So please introduce your wonderful self, Jornell.
Yes. Hello, 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 everybody. I'm so happy and honored to be here. My name is Jornell. I'm from New York, but I actually live in Ohio. I met Amy when she came to study abroad in Ohio at Baldwin Wallace. yes. that's kind of just me. I work for my county, for the County Board of Developmental Disabilities. So people who have developmental disabilities, I just, make sure they get the support and services that they need. I'm a mommy and a wife. So, I guess just your typical everyday working American.
Lovely, Jornell. Yeah, thanks for coming on short notice as well. I know a few of my specials have been on short notice. so thanks for doing that. But let's get straight into it. Look, I'm so interested to find out what your day was like yesterday. So hit me. What was that like working the polls?
Oh, so working the polls yesterday was definitely an experience.
Oh, Jornell?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. I lost you for a sec, but we're back on. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry about that. I don't know if it was my screen. Yes, working the polls yesterday was definitely an experience. So as a poll, our polls open at 7:30 in the morning, but we had to be there at 5:30 a.m. When I arrived, we actually had people lined up sitting in chairs. It was cold. It was dark. Wow. And they were sitting in chairs with their blankets waiting to vote when we opened. People were online for like over an hour and a half, just waiting. And this was like throughout the day, just making sure that they could cast their ballots. It was definitely an adventure. So I don't know what you guys' policy or like processes to vote, but in Ohio, because every state has different requirements and regulations in order to vote. But in Ohio, right, you have to be able to show proof of residency. So the most common way is with an ID. It's either a driver's license or a state ID. But if you don't have that, you can bring in a bill, mail, or something like that. But there was a lot of people that we had to turn away because they didn't have any type of ID on them, or they moved and they're at the wrong location, and you have to vote at your proper location. And what that means is that wherever you live, you kind of like, your house is like assigned to a police station or police district, and that's where you have to vote at. So you could have lived somewhere for like 10, 15 years and recently moved, and now you're like, oh, well, all my mail and stuff goes here. I'm just going to vote here. It's right there. But it's like, no, if you didn't update your address, you can't vote there. And oh my gosh, people get upset because, they want to vote where they're, where they're at. It's cold. They're waiting all this time, but it's just a whole crazy mess.
Wow.
So it was definitely an ordeal. A lot of people don't read and pay attention. We've had a lot of soiled ballots, which is where, so our ballots kind of look like, I don't know if you guys know what like a Scantron or like for like tests where you have to kind of fill in bubbles.
Okay.
But here in Ohio, that's kind of what ours look like. And you kind of circle in the bubble for the person that you want to vote for. And, you know, people were circling in the wrong bubbles. They were doing like circling two presidents on accident. They did the wrong judge. And so like they were just coming in for crazy stuff. A lot of people, it is kind of an embarrassment to say, but a lot of people didn't realize that Joe Biden, his name was actually Joseph. So on the, it's not funny, it's just legit. Like we actually had someone who wrote in Joe Biden on the ballot because she didn't see his name. And the only reason that we knew was because she made another mistake. So she was turning in her ballot like, hey, can I get a new one? I made a mistake. And one of the people next to me was like, did you really write? I mean, I don't know what she said because I wasn't like listening to the conversation, but she just told me afterwards, like she wrote in and I hope on the second time she fixed it, but that ballot might not have counted. So yeah, it's definitely an ordeal. Yes.
You saw everything by the sounds of it.
Definitely.
Did you, I don't know, what was the atmosphere like? Were there any people, I don't know, like clashing heads or just having really intense debates, or was everyone generally just coming in, doing their business and then leaving?
No, so you're not allowed to show any political affiliation, like when you come into the polls.
Okay.
There are people who stand like on the curb, like you have to be a certain amount of feet from the door with any like political posters. So there were people who are like outside who are given pamphlets. But yeah, generally what they do is like in areas, like our area was big. We had over 3,000 people just at my site.
Wow.
So, but our area was known to be like a Democratic area. So a lot of like Democratic parties, they'll send some people out to just bring pamphlets to show people like who the Democratic judges are and things like that. But yeah, we didn't have any problems. You know, a few people were excited. You know, one lady, she came in and she just was shouting, you know, it's a good day. I'm blessed. You know, God is in control. It doesn't matter what. So, you know, that was nice, uplifting. We cheered for all the first-time voters. So after the first-time voters threw their ballot in, you know, there was a lot of clapping and cheering. So people would ask us, like, what's going on? And we're like, oh, those are first-time voters. And they were like, oh, okay, nice.
Sounds like a nice atmosphere, which is what you want.
Yeah.
Okay, right. And so were you involved in the counting? Because I'm aware, well, from what I've been seeing on our news channels, that Ohio's vote has been called in. So I don't know. Is that something you were involved in at the end?
So yes, but no. So every state, which is kind of why, like now, even though we voted yesterday, how some states are saying that it'll be like a few days until they're able to like give an accurate count is because there's multiple ways that you can vote. You can vote on election day, you know, cast your ballot. It goes into the machine. It's scanned immediately into the system. And it's like kind of like a computer almost that has a chip. And at the end of the night, you kind of just load that chip into the main database and they're able to determine how many people voted. That's the traditional way. That's the quickest way. That's what gives you the most accurate count, which is why in normal presidential elections, by midnight, you know, normally by midnight, we have a winner and we kind of know because that's how majority of the people vote. Yeah. This election, because of COVID, there was a lot of mail-in ballots. We had a lot of provisional ballots. So mail-in is the early voting. That's when your ballot is sent to your house and you mail in that ballot. And those ballots are actually counted by hand.
Right.
And so we had more people voted by mail in early voting. So it was mail and early voting, which is where they went down to the Board of Elections like earlier before then. So between early voting by mail or in person, we had more people do it this year than the total amount of people who voted in the 2016 election.
Wow.
So that's why if you were seeing, like, at one point, like, I know last night, like, at one point, Biden, like, had won North Carolina, and it was, like, he had a clear lead, and then all of a sudden, it kind of switched to red, and, like, a lot of other states kind of did it vice versa. That's because depending on what the majority people did last night, that's what we would see first, and then once the other ballots came in, it would go quicker.
That makes a lot of sense. I think you've answered a lot of questions, because I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, how come we don't know the winner already? It's almost been, you know, it's been quite a while, but that makes sense with COVID. I didn't realize there was that much a difference in the amount of people who went by the mail-in ballot system this time around.
And then every state is different. So some states, they were counting them early, and other states, they're not counting until today. That's why, like, Pennsylvania, they weren't required to start counting on mail-in ballots until yesterday. So you have a whole room full of ballots that have to be counted. And it's like, well, wait a minute, hold on here. And traditionally, it's the Democrats who vote by mail-in. So it's like, we just have to wait and see.
So were you, I'm guessing you were, in a sense, involved in the computer system where you took out the chip? And
no, I wasn't. No. Nothing that would hold me accountable. That's too, too much of an important job for me. I just checked the people in. I check the IDs and try to get them their ballots and, you know, let them know where they need to go if they're in the wrong location. That was nothing that I could screw up and mess up a whole county vote. I was like, no, thank you.
Sounds like you don't want to be part of that anyway. You're just like, no, too much responsibility. Okay, so when did you actually cast your vote then, Jornell? Because was that before or after?
No, I actually did it on election day. Me and my husband, we wanted to do it early, but the lines were super long. It was wrapped around the building. Last week, we had like a whole bunch of rain and cold weather, and I wasn't standing in the rain. Take my hat off to everyone who did it, but that was not for me. No standing in the rain for me. So I was like, luckily, where I worked at was in my district, so I was able to vote there.
Okay, that's good. That's good. And obviously, you know this question is coming because we've spoken about it previously. So I'm not putting you on the spot, and you're happy to disclose who you voted for. And we're going to go a bit more into that. So just for the sake of my listeners, who got your vote this election?
I did vote for Joe Biden.
Okay. And why? Why did you vote for Biden?
I voted for Biden. I wasn't necessarily Biden himself. It was more for the sake of democracy and the future of America. Everyone who's been watching the news, we really know that America is in a very divided place right now. And just for our future, I felt it in my heart that we needed to have a Democrat. I know Democrats have a long history of making false promises to like African Americans, and I'm not looking to them to be our savior, but I also know that they're starting to realize because of the last election that they have to make some real promises and some real changes for African Americans and just Blacks and minorities in America if they want the Democratic Party to succeed. And I feel as though, you know, we will see some real changes because we are so divided right now and everyone is kind of fed up and at a breaking point that, you know, these next few years are truly going to be, well, I guess we're at the catalyst now for American history and the coming years.
Wow. Okay. So I'm going to play the devil's advocate a bit, or perhaps just ask a few questions on that end. Because I have heard that argument, which is what you just said, that obviously in the past, the Democrats don't have such a good track record in keeping their promises, especially to the Black community. I mean, I guess, is it fair to say you're hoping to give them another chance? Because from I guess, again, from reports we've been seeing here is that Trump has done quite well with the criminal justice system regarding, the Black community. What would your take be on that? Because that's kind of what I've heard a lot more Blacks say. That's why they're going to vote on Trump, or one of the main reasons, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because he's fulfilled that promise.
So it's kind of hard to say. There has been a lot of people, you know, on the ground and trying, you know, prison reform is something that has been, that is being pushed for a long time. I don't know too much, and I'm a person that I really don't like to speak on things that I'm not, you know, fully educated in myself. Mm-hmm. So what I say to that, and I guess the best answer that I can say for that is, even though he may have done a lot of good in that good that he doesn't, well, okay, I'll say this. The people and the parties that he gives a voice to have created a lot more problems for our Black people that is bigger than prison reform. So it's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like the hate groups and just the police brutality. I remember in one of the, he even said it in one of the debates that he, you know, at first he refused to denounce any of those groups. And then he also made the state that outside of President Lincoln, that he has done more for African Americans. He has got rid of the diversity training in the White House. I don't know if he's got rid. I don't think he's got rid of it anywhere, but I know he said like in the White House, he's gotten rid of it because he felt that is divisive and it's not inclusive being trained on like diversity. So what we do in America is we have in all like different jobs, we have like diversity, like sensitivity training, which is
okay.
Probably horrible to say that corporate people need to be trained how to respect and interact with people of different cultures, specifically minorities, women, things like that. So that's what we have in every corporate job that you're going to get. You're going to do some type of training about diversity to say, you know, you're supposed to respect people and the boundaries and wishes like this. And his response is that is divisive and that's not helping people come together to train them on different cultures.
Mm. So I get what you're saying. You're saying that the good that he may have done doesn't outweigh the places he's fallen short.
Correct.
Is that fair?
Yes.
That's fair enough to say. That's interesting. I just like finding out, you know, why people are making, you know, different decisions. And obviously, as we can tell from the polls, it's so close. Another interesting thing I have found out, which kind of explains your point a bit more, is I think in the last 5 years, they're saying the demographics of the electorate in America, so voters have changed. Mm-hmm. So whereas it used to be a lot of baby boomers, now it's a lot of millennials voting, which is why Biden might be likely to win this. As we speak, we're still waiting, so we don't know.
Right.
But it's because of some of the issues you've raised right now, you know, because millennials are more about inclusivity a variety of different, like, being culturally sensitive and stuff like that are kind of top of our priority, climate change and all of that. So, that's interesting to see. Cool. So I am going to ask you, I guess you kind of answered this. So you would say that democracy is on the vote, is on the ballot this election?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
We are really, because we are so divided right now. Like, it's so sad to say, but that is something that, like, we truly are. It's just divided. And even, like, everyone is kind of just paused and living in fear because no one really knows what tomorrow will look like. It's like, well, if, you know, Biden wins, we're gonna have uproar and uprising because, you know, Biden won, and so, you know, it was rigged, it was fake. A lot of the white supremacists and like those type of people, you know, they'll be upset that, you know, President Trump, you know, their leader is no longer in office. So they'll start, you know, causing chaotic and just everything else. If Trump wins again, it's like, well, you know, haha, we're untouchable. You know, we've been having, you know, things have been going along great for us this long. Now we're truly unstoppable. And they'll just create more chaos because they can. I mean, for the first time ever, businesses are literally boarding up their windows in preparation for rioting.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's like, this is not a joke. This is not a game. This is real life. If you go to like the downtown areas of, you know, major cities, they're boarding up in preparation because everyone is like, you know, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to move forward. And it's really sad to say that we've gotten to this point where we don't even know what a democracy, you know, is.
Do you reckon that, because from what you're saying, it also sounds like there's a lot of identity politics now going on in America.
Oh,
yeah,
very much so. it's kind of unfortunate, but kind of like now the notion is if you're a Trump supporter, you're a racist. If you're, you know, a Biden supporter, you know, you're automatically aligned with Black Lives Matter, defunding police, LGBT.
Socialism.
Yeah, like so basically socialism. If you're Biden, you're a socialist. You are a socialist. If you're for Trump, you're a racist. And it's literally,
there's no in between.
There's no in between. And families have been divided. There's, you know, arguments. We've had, you know, Facebook between like high school, you know, our high school classes. It's just chaotic. I've even had to reach out to a teacher of mine, one of like my favorite teachers, because she had like reposted a student who was known to kind of like, essentially he was brewing hate because of the stuff that he would post about like the Black Lives Matter movement and like the Blue Lives Matter. And she wasn't in support of that, which I learned through our conversation. She was in support because this individual had battled with substance abuse. And so a lot of people would use his past history to kind of like bash it and like, oh, you're a cokehead and, you know, you didn't have anything and your Black friends were there and now, you know, you want to do this or you should just, you know, overdose, you know, things that really weren't productive. And that's not, you know, you don't fight fire with fire. And so she was kind of saying that, you know, you're allowed to have a difference of opinion without you know, hating each other. But it kind of looked like she was in support of him and his view. So, you know, I reached out to her on the side and like, you know, I just want to say it's very disheartening to, you know, go on Facebook and see someone who, you know, I consider to be a leader in our school, a safe place, and see where your views align. Not to say that you're not allowed to have your views and your policies, but to see you in support of someone who is publicly, you know, being divisive and causing hate and stuff like that. So it really is device and just very lines are drawn, hard lines are drawn.
Yeah, I think I did notice that as well in the presidential debates, because it was quite funny. I think people are finding it difficult to separate the character from the policies on both sides.
I don't think either
person did well to diminish that view as well. So you would hear Trump say Biden has done absolutely nothing. And then you'll hear Biden say Trump has done absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, if both of you did nothing, like there'll not be a nation left. So clearly someone's doing something, right? Like, and everyone's, no, you're lying. No, you're lying. So who is, someone has to be lying. Like, come on.
Yes. No, 100% true. I mean, the first debate, like, and it's funny because I'm looking at my notes and I literally wrote that Joe won, but not really. He didn't answer the questions. He was just polite. And, you know, in all the chaos, it wasn't like he gave us anything to really outline a plan or explain what he wanted to do. It was just bashing, you know, President Trump and all that he has done. And, you know, so it really, it is kind of funny because they play into it as well. And they'll just go back and forth and anything that they can dig at with, you know, each other, that's what they'll do. Mm. They'll talk about, you know, Biden will always talk about Trump and he, you know, he refuses to wear a mask and he didn't do anything, you know, the coronavirus, he blames it on China, but he dismantled all the organizations that we had in place to protect ourselves. And then, you know, Trump will come back, well, what about your son? And what about this? And, you know, so it's really, it's reality TV for us. And it's so hard because they're just continuing to perpetuate all the crazy and division that we're having because they're not giving us anything and they're not giving us the information to be like, oh, okay, well, yes, that is true. You know, I agree with you. Or even when we try to listen from our ear, I mean, we're plugged into the debate. And then, you know, President Trump will say, I wish I should have wrote it down to find out what he said first. If he said that he did more for Black, he's the president that did more for Black people outside of President Lincoln, or if he said, Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. I wish I could tell you which one came first to really point to how much of a, what's the word for it, when it's a contradiction that he is in that. But
but it's interesting.
Yes, it is interesting.
That's one thing for sure. I want to ask you just kind of lastly on this topic, kind of, I don't know if you've heard about the whole media censorship issue that has come out. I mean, it came out the last few days of the campaign regarding the bosses of Facebook and Twitter being brought before Senate committee, I believe.
Yeah.
And I think it was about them blocking an article regarding Biden. And do you want to, if you are aware, could you enlighten our viewers a bit about that issue, and then you can give us a bit of your take on it.
Yeah, so I did a little dabbling into it where I believe it was the New York Post. It was the article that Twitter, was it? I think it was Twitter.
Yeah, so I think Twitter took down the New York Post.
Yeah, they weren't allowing, I think it was somebody in the Washington, like in the White House was trying to repost and like post the article about Biden and his son Hunter, which was false. So it was false information, but because, you know, these respectable and party members that should be spewing the truth were reporting it, they blocked it from having it. So the issue that we're having is social media, of course, you know, information, once it's out there and it spreads like wildfire. You can't really get it back. And there's no way for us to tell what's true and what's false. I mean, I'm sure there's been countless of times when celebrities have been accidentally killed, meaning you'll go on social media and this person was dead and you keep seeing it and it's like, oh my goodness, did they die? And you have to like do all this Googling and stuff because once it's out there, it just spreads. And so what's happening, especially with this presidential election, you know, the stakes are so high. And, you know, our generation, the millennials, and the generation, is it Y or Z? I can't keep up.
Z.
you know, that's how we really get our information. So if people start spewing, you know, false facts, it's really detrimental because we're not going to the news, you know, the Times or watching CNN and NBC and all these channels. We get it from social media. So,
but you see, if I may interject on this, I think, so this is where I have an issue with social media, because I get what you're saying to an extent, and I feel this is where social media needs a lot more regulation, because it has quite double standards. Because when you try and report things that are clearly in violation, right, of people's, just a clear violation, they don't seem to act as fast. Do you know what I mean? Where someone is clearly bullying someone, or someone's clearly pestering someone, or there's some sort of, you know, bad thing going on, you don't tend to get such a reaction. Now, with this particular incident, See, this is it though. As to whether it was false or true, I believe from what I've researched, it's still in the wings.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? No one has actually, people are on the fence about it. And the question I have is, who gives them that right?
Definitely.
To say no. Is social media, is it not supposed to be a place where people air their opinions? And I have the choice to be able to make a decision as to whether I agree or not, and I go do my research on it, right? But it should, I shouldn't be told how to think. Do you know what I mean? Because right. At what point does that happen where they are only allowing things that they believe to be true or they believe to be false? Do you get me? Because who is right. regulating them?
Right, and that's the issue, and that's the question that comes into question even with it going to the Senate, because it's like, all right, now you're determining what's true and what's false. And because these are businessmen, I mean, they can be in cahoots with, you know, foreign countries.
That's the problem.
And now, you know, we're having these outside countries come in, and because, you know, they paid Mark Zuckerberg, you know, a certain amount of money, mm-hmm. whatever agenda they want to push, that's what he's allowing. Which is very true where the issue comes in at, and it makes it so hard. But, you know, the stereotype that Americans are lazy is not a lie. We are very lazy and we take things for face value. So if you are someone who is reputable and you say something, we are going to believe it. So if Michelangelo tells me that the purple pen is yellow, that is Michelangelo. He is a famous artist. I'm not going to challenge what he says. That's yellow because he knows, you know, he's experienced in the art world. He knows what it is. So, okay, that's the new yellow. I thought it was something different, but no one's going to challenge it because that's what he said and that's what he's known to be. So that's why with the censorship and everything came into question, because these are supposed to be reputable people. So if you're spewing things that are not true, we're not going to fact check it. If you tell me this, well, I'm going to believe you, which is the whole problem with the debates and why, you know, everyone says that there needs to be a third party, you know, putting up true or false. Because if Biden says Trump did this, well, I mean, he's going to lie to me on national TV. He said Biden, you know, he said Trump did this. Or if Trump said Biden did that, oh, well, I guess it's true. They just said it on national TV in front of, you know, the whole America. But they're, you know, telling lies just like the rest of us, or twisting the truth around to fit them. So, yeah, it is a big problem. And it's censorship, it's favoritism, because even like now, our media outlets, they play to one side or the other. So we can't even go to, you know, like Fox News or the New York Post, because, you know, Fox News is in favor of the Republicans. So whatever there's, you know, whatever news that they bring out is going to be in the Republicans' favor. So am I going to get the true story, or are they going to just paint it, you know, paint the picture red? And it's sad to say, but even, you know, like the BBC, which is you guys' news source, but now a lot more Americans, that's what we're starting to go to get information because we know that you guys are a neutral party. You're not trying to push one agenda over the other. And
relatively neutral, well, but yeah.
In our case. All things American, you know.
Yeah. No, I get where you're coming from, 100%. Yeah. You kind of have to go to the outsider who probably doesn't have as much to gain.
Right.
I totally get you. Yeah, I mean, that is a... It's a dire situation, but then it reminds me of something you said before our conversation when we're just chatting, which I think this is kind of what growing up is part of, right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you're not necessarily a politics fanatic, but you are growing and these issues affect you. So you've found it the responsible thing to do to check up on some of the policies yourself. And I think perhaps I hope that this is what... this election would cause a lot of people to do in the future, not just to give what they're spouted out. Not just to take what they're given. what's spouted out at them from podiums. But the truth is, information is so easily accessible right now. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is Google it, right? I'm sure you can find out Trump's policies on the website, on his website, or what's it called? Or on the Republican website. Mm-hmm. And likewise, you can find Biden's on his website and the Democrats' website. And you can find out what has been done and what hasn't been done based on various Senate reports that are publicly available.
Yeah.
And I know they're not the most interesting things to read, but if you were just to read the abstract, the very beginning, you'll have a rough idea of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to read everything, do you? Just on those particular issues that might affect you the most.
True.
You know, so I do hope people will take that, because I don't think, you know, you can call this person a liar or that person a liar all you want, but the truth is you're not going to stop them from
lying.
From lying. Yeah. So it kind of comes to you like, what are you going to do about it?
Right. Definitely. I 100% agree with you. And I think that's where a lot of the change and the pushback is coming, because, you know, contrary to belief, the millennials were 23 to 39 years old. So we are the grownups in the situation now. So we have to, you know, educate ourselves, because our parents are, you know, 50 and, you know, 60 years old now. So their life looks different from us and their views are different. I mean, a lot of the issues that we're facing now, they don't understand. I mean, you know, my dad made the, it was more of a joke, but he was saying how, you know, when he grew up, he only knew of two gay people. It was Liberace and I think Little Richard. So for him, you know, a lot of these issues for the LGBTQ community, you know, they don't affect him. That's not something that he understands. You know, that's a lifestyle that he never, you know, grew up under. So for him, you know, he's not going to, that's not a necessarily.
It's not on the ballot.
Right. It's not on the ballot. So if someone's against that or for it, that's not a turning point to be like, oh, well, I can't support them. They don't care about this because it's not an issue for him. Whereas, you know, I have friends and peers and loved ones who, you know, I have to be an advocate for them. So if you're not for that, then you're not for people that I love. So I have to figure out, well, wait a minute, what does this look like for me? You know, who am I aligning myself with? So.
Yeah. I mean, as we bring this to a close, I am just going to go straight into the electoral college system. Now, are you able to shed a bit more light on that for me, Jonelle? Because I think we've got a few more minutes left, so we'll do that, because I kind of want to ask you, or I'll probably just lay it all out there, what do you think is going to happen with everything that's going on? And I'm sure in your explanation of that, you can bring in the Electoral College as well, in terms of who do you think is going to win.
Yes, so I can say as of right now, because I just looked at it, we're at 248 for Biden and 214 for Trump. We need 270 to win. So we'll, you know, we'll really see what's going on, what's happening. I don't want to get my hopes up. I don't want to, you know, say, oh, it'll go this way, or oh, it'll go that way. Because if you asked me 4 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, when Donald Trump said that he was running for office, I just thought he was just talking stuff and it was not true. If he was going to be elected, I said, oh no, it's Hillary. Hillary's going to win. We had an African-American president before. We're going to have a woman this time, you know. So I don't want to say what it is. We just have to continue all to watch and see. But the Electoral College. So I'm sure it is very confusing for the whole world, as it is very confusing for average American systems, how our voting system works. So every state has you know, the a certain amount of basically like votes, electoral votes. And what it is kind of averaged by is your state population. So, of course, New York, Texas, California, Florida, they have more votes than Idaho or, you know, Nebraska, just because there's more people. So it's not something where if the whole entire, you know, country, we just all vote. And if, let's say there's 100 people in the U.S., if 49 people voted for Biden and then 51 voted for Trump. Oh, okay, Trump won, majority rules. No, that's not how it works. It doesn't even work like that on a state level. Literally every area, and it kind of goes by the majority of what the, sometimes it goes by the majority of what people want. So, for instance, in Ohio, our major cities are Cleveland, the capital is Columbus, like Dayton, and a few, Cincinnati, and a few like other areas. So all of our big cities actually voted for Biden. If you look on the map and like the breakdown, all the big cities voted for Biden, which, you know, carries a lot of weight. But we have so many other like small towns and counties that all voted for Trump. And
I noticed he won in Ohio, didn't he?
Yes, Trump did win in Ohio. I don't like to talk about that because Ohio has always voted for the president. I knew last year, I mean, not last year, but 4 years ago when Trump won, as soon as Ohio turned red, I said, oh crap, this is going down very bad, because since 1940 something, Ohio has always voted for the president. But anyways, well, my point about speaking,
let's not dwell on that.
My point is, even though you look at these major cities and we probably count up for a vast majority of the population and like have the greatest influence, because there are so many other counties and like other people, when they look at the map, if you just see four cities that voted blue and the rest of the, you know, state went one way, they kind of have to, the electoral candidates, which are people that no one knows who they are. I think Blackish said it best. They could be the Illuminati. Nobody knows who the Illuminati is. Nobody knows who the Electoral College candidates are. They live amongst us. They have never been identified who they are. This is serious. This is not a joke. They make the decision based on what they see. So, like, if you look at our state, although, you know, all the prominent cities wanted to go one way, the rest of the state is like, no, this is who we want. So they kind of, you know, deliberate amongst themselves and decide, okay, how are we going to vote? And they can decide to vote totally different. Like, they could have decided to vote blue if that's what they decided. It would have been, you know, a little backlash, like, oh my goodness, how could they do it? But they actually have the right to vote any way that they want to. They'll get paid a fine if you vote, you know, opposite of what the majority, like the majority vote says, but you can do that as well. So it is kind of crazy to say that at the end of the day, our election system is in the hands of, I think it's like 500, it's like, I think it's over, a little bit over 500 individuals. So all these people, like I said, I had 3,000 people just in my town alone vote. And at the end of the week, the decision will be in the hand of like roughly 500 people.
500 people.
They'll just say based on ours.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think, thanks for breaking it down. I think you did a very good job of breaking it down, because I was listening to, actually, they were from the Illuminati Electoral College. I was listening to two people from both sides. So a Democratic Electoral College candidate, if that's what they're called, and a Republican one. And they were just talking about how, so they were being interviewed on the BBC. I'm not sure if I've said that already. And they were just talking about how they got nominated. So I think someone within their party puts out a nomination for them. And yeah, they, like you said, they kind of just go with it and look at what's happening, which is quite interesting because with America being like the big crusader for democracy all over the world, it's interesting that it has a very different and distinct democratic process to almost any other country.
Yes, and this was started with our forefathers. Because way back in the beginning, they did not think that the average man, and it was literally a man, it was way back then, women didn't have the right to vote, and this was wealthy white men, because back then, if you were poor, I mean, originally, white people were slaves in America, and then black people, but that's another discussion. So when they created the Electoral College, they were saying that they did not trust the average wealthy white man to make the decision of who the president should be. So this is how the whole Electoral College came about, which is laughable because when you think of a democracy, it's for the people. It's what the people want. So how can you say on one hand, oh yeah, we want to be a democracy. We want what the people want. Oh, but we don't actually trust the people. So the people can't make an informed decision. So we're not going to do what the people want. We're going to make a decision based on
what we think they want.
Right.
Yeah, I think as time has changed, like you're saying, it is quite laughable. Do you think perhaps most this also came about because in the beginning, America wasn't America as we know it. It was really like individual states or almost countries that came together under the umbrella of the United States, if you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
perhaps based on the clout of each state, they wanted equal representation.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, in a sense, that's kind of what it is. I mean, you know, I think I said it earlier about like New York versus Nebraska. It's two, the populations are so different, the influence is so different. So if New York says, hey, this is who we want, their yes does mean more than Nebraska. Because of the amount of people and the, you know, the direct impact that it's going to have on it. So, you know, there is some, you know, checks and balances for it. There's a lot of, you know, underneath it, how much, you know, systematic racism and everything else that it, you could talk all day about the Electoral College and how it's not fair. And you look at the South and how they're always Republican, but you think, oh, but it's all these black people. That's where voter oppression and all the other stuff gets in. That would be a whole nother topic for a whole nother day.
I guess we could go on and on and on about this.
Yes, because there is so many. I mean, that's the one thing that is great about American politics is that there's so many sides to it. There's so many ways to look at it. And it's like, wow, you could really, which is almost sad, that nowadays we're not able to have those conversations because, you know, for me, I'm a middle class, I'm black, and I'm a woman. So I kind of see things through, you know, a lot of different glasses. My sister's a lawyer. She actually owns her own law firm. And her husband works in pharmaceutical sales and higher, you know, upper jobs. So they do really well. So, you know, sitting at the table with them and having conversations and just learning more, you know, my sister's a small business earner. They make, you know, six figures and plus. I, you know, hear the conversations and I'm able to learn. Oh, okay. Well, now I see why people could be in support of Trump, because for businessmen, he's great. You know, he is helping, giving them the breaks that he needs. So it's like, all right, I can't fault you, you know, for respecting his policies and, you know, for this, because he is helping you. I mean, the rich are getting richer, and it's not even a little bit richer. It's like richer, richer, richer. I think I wrote the number down. Let me see if I can find it.
richer.
No, legit.
That figure.
I wrote it. I can't find it now, but.
But I think that's an interesting point you said, though, because when you talk about, I know. We said we're coming to an end, which we are. But when you talk about your sister and then you talk about the rich, I think that's what people forget, right? Because it's easy to label other people as them.
Yeah.
Until you actually meet, until that person is actually part of
right. You when you become mean? Them, so, then it's like, oh,
that's it.
Wait a minute. Hold on here. This isn't so bad. And you have to,
yeah.
you know, realize it.
And you have a bit more understanding for the next person.
Right.
And you understand that, okay, I can love you, but I can disagree with
Definitely.
You.
Definitely. And I think that's where the people who are willing to have the conversations, I think that's where they stand. Because for me, you know, a lot of the policies and the things that President Trump wants to cut doesn't affect me. I've never been on Medicaid, which is our, like, public health insurance. Yeah. You know, as a child, my dad worked, so I had private insurance. Now, you know, I work, I have private insurance. So coming to the ballot, I'm not like, oh my goodness, wait a minute, he wants to get rid of, you know, public health care. That's the issue. Hold on, you can't do that. Or the fact that, you know, food stamps and, like, support for our low-income families and affordable housing, like, a lot of those issues, that doesn't affect me. So a lot of the policies that he, you know, people are really like, oh my goodness, he can't do this, he can't do that. I'm like, well, I mean, that's not my issue. But you can't wait until, you know, someone gets to your issue, because by then there might not be anybody left to support you. You have to say, okay, well, wait a minute. How will this, you know, how will this help so many other people? And what can we do? Or how can I be an advocate for you to make sure that you're supported and you have the things that you need? Because if I know, you know, five or six people who depend on food stamps, and if it gets cut, I mean, the selfish part of me is like, well, wait a minute, now they're coming to my door for some food, and, you know, I might have enough for my family and everything else, but now I have to, you know, support all these other people. So where it was fine yesterday, oh, it doesn't affect me, it's cut, now you got five people knocking on your door, and it's like, well, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Hold on here. What are we going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. So seeing it from other people's perspective, that is great. That is great. Look, I am actually going to end it here, I promise. Are we? Can we do that? No. But it has been so beautiful, like, chatting with you and just hearing what's going on in the States. And yeah, I am sat up all night. I kind of was up in the middle of the night yesterday as well. And I'm just going to be waiting.
I passed out last night. I was looking at it. Ohio was turning red. I was very upset. I just kind of went to sleep.
On that note, Jonell.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your precious time. It has been a very informative chat for me as well. And I'm sure my viewers are totally more informed after this. We wish you all the best, and obviously prayers going out to the United States. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys so much. I'll have to check to see if your borders are open to Americans, because if it goes... not left, we want it to go left, I guess, in this case, if it goes right.
The first time anybody ever said that, I want it to go left.
Right. We want it to go left, but if it goes right, I may have to take my passport and just, you know, the first thing, smoking out of here. So
come on over, we'll have you,
hopefully.
All right, Jonell, well, have a beautiful day, because it's still daytime over at your end. And yeah. Wishing you all the best, whichever way it goes. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a good day. Or yeah, good days ahead. I'm optimistic. Yes,
definitely. It's always darkest before dawn. So, you know, I'm not gonna let it to defeat me. I'm gonna keep pushing forward. You know, we pray for covering. When we think about, especially as Black Americans, we think about our ancestry, our lineage, and what our ancestors had to go through. And I just think of it as, you know, my grandmothers, they had babies natural, no hospitals. They can get through that. I can surely get through the next 4 years.
There you go. All right, guys, thanks for joining us on this conversation. We look forward to having you on the next episode of Today Uncovered. Have a beautiful day, and all the best. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.